You're about to listen to a message from Every Nation Church Midrand, the place where people come to be changed and discipled to transform society.
May the Lord be glorified more and more and more in our lives. Amen. The Bible says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord and for His glory. If we sing to His glory. Hallelujah. If we dance for His glory. If we shout for His glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So everything we do should be for His glory. There's no greater honor. Yes, no greater honor than to worship Him. Amazing how just doing what you were made for can bring so much fulfillment to your life. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Life, God made man simple, but man complicated himself. Let's get back to the simple things. Sometimes just being grateful to God can free you from some things. Isn't that so? Yeah. Just being grateful for some people in your life can unlock some blessings. Yeah. It's amazing. Just simple things. Simple things. Can give your life a new meaning. Turn to someone and say, it's not complicated. It's very simple. Hallelujah. Yes. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Again, we come before you. Lord, you know that without you, I'm nothing. And without you, I can do nothing. Without you, I have nothing to say. Without you, I cannot even stand before your people. Lord, I ask for you to anoint these lips of clay. Give me utterance. Speak through this mouth. Help me this morning. Let the power in your word be released. Let there be transformation. Let every faulty belief system be rocked this morning. Amen. Uproot that which God has not planted. Amen. Uproot anything that has been planted by the enemy. Uproot seeds of doubt and unbelief. I resist this generational unbelief that has been spread over the earth. I break it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord my God, I release the spirit of faith. My God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Last week we started talking about the wonders of belief. How many people were blessed by that? Were you blessed? Did you go back to it? Did you feed upon it? Did you share it with somebody? Did you share the link with somebody? No, you didn't, you see. You must do better. Turn to someone and say, please do better. Tell someone, love is sharing. Okay. So learn to share. Learn to share. Don't consume alone. It's not good. It's a bad habit. Share, share, share. Hallelujah. Learn to share. It's a good thing to share when you are blessed. Glory to God. That way you can be more blessed. So we started from our text in Romans chapter 10. And let's go there. Romans chapter 10. Very powerful scripture that can be taken for granted. Many times we commonize things. We quickly become familiar with things, especially the things of God. The fact that you know a scripture does not mean that you are walking in it. How many people agree with that? Yeah, the fact that you know it does not mean that you are walking in the reality of it. Yeah. So many times when we listen to the word of God, say, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that. Now the question is, how much of it is working in your life? So there are different types of knowledge. Okay, there are different types of knowledge. There is what is known as mental assent. Okay? Mental assent is where you know in your head. You know in your head. The Bible says, even the demons, they believe and they tremble. So how come they are not being made righteous? You see, it's not given to them. So they can believe. There's no devil that is an atheist. Yeah, there's none. There's no devil, there's no demon, there's no witch, there's no whatever you can call them. There is no Sangoma that is an atheist. There is none. Yeah. Except some intellectual fools. And say, oh, pastor, don't talk like that. Okay, God says, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. So that means there's a knowing inside them, but they deny what they know in their heart. And it's foolish to deny what you know in your heart to be true. You see? And that's the problem. So there is knowledge in your head, but then there's knowledge in your heart. There's believing in your head, but there's believing in your heart. Do you get my point? Yeah, yeah. Believing in your heart. So what changes you is not believing in your head. That's not what changes you. What changes you is believing in your heart. That's what translates you. That's what changes your life. That's what moves you from where you are to where you ought to be. Amen. You get my point? Amen. So let's read it. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, it's interesting that word saved in the Greek is not just saving of your soul. Hallelujah. It's not just saving of your soul. It's sozo. That's where we get the word salvation is an all-encompassing word. It's a word that covers your spirit, your soul, and your body. And not only your body, your entire being. Amen. The word has to do with salvation of the soul. It has to do with the salvation of the mind. It has to do with the preservation of your life. Amen. So, in other words, if you are going, if your life is going to be preserved supernaturally, there is this same scripture that wants to make you born again. It's the same scripture that will work to save you in other areas of life. It's the same. How many people have said, Lord, save me from this mess? Yeah? Yeah. Why would you say that? Because it works in every dimension of life. And that's why we say that there are three dimensions of salvation. There is immediate salvation, there is progressive salvation, and there is future salvation. Okay? So I am saved. Hallelujah. Amen. The moment I call Jesus into my heart and put my faith in him, I am saved. But I am being saved by the renewing of my mind by the word of God. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. So, your spirit is saved, but your soul is being saved. Are you getting my point? It's being saved. That's why if you believe if you believe in abusing women and you get born again, it doesn't change that belief. What born again does is that it changes your spirit. But the traditions you still carry still remain. The belief systems you've carried still remain. If you believe in defrauding people and you get born again, it doesn't just change. So that's why people are confused when they see born again Christians doing certain things. And they say, but I thought he was born again. I thought she was born again. You are confused because you don't understand that the salvation, the immediate salvation that took place when they called Jesus into their hearts is the salvation where their spirit is recreated. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. He has become a new creation, but it's a new creation with the wrong belief system. So he can still be wicked. He can still be a crook. Although he speaks in tongues, he could still be a crook. He can still be abusive. So don't be fooled because somebody comes to church and raises his hands and says, hallelujah. You think, okay, this is an angel now. You will be amazed. You'll be amazed at the wickedness in the hearts of many of God's children. Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, we've experienced it. And I'm sure you have as well. But does that negate the word of God? No. That is to tell you that that person is saved. His spirit is born again. There's a rebirth that has happened. But then the soul is still being saved. Hallelujah. And that's why you need good teaching. That's why you need the word of God. Amen. Daily to feed upon the word of God. Because it's for the salvation of your soul. You see? Yeah. And you have to continue with that till you leave this world. If you stop halfway, you will never arrive at the destination. So some people are confused. They think that because somebody has started the journey, then he has arrived. Open your eyes. Come on. Watch and pray. So you pray and with one eye closed, one eye open. Is this one really born again? Okay, he's born again. Is he really? Can I build with this person? Can I partner with this person? You get my point? You have to make that decision. You can't ignore that and then later you blame God for the consequences of your decision. No, you can't do that. I'm not saying people have to be perfect before they relate with you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying you just need to be, you need to be careful. How many people get what I'm saying? Yes, yes. Some of the greatest pain I've suffered in my life was from God's people. Yeah. It wasn't from wicked people outside. It's wicked people inside. But what do? We forgive, we learn to love, and we continue to grow. And we get wiser and wiser and wiser and wiser. Hallelujah. The church is not for perfect people. Okay? So if anybody offends you in church, know that the church is not for perfect people. But the church is a place where people get perfected. Are you following? Yeah, so as the people will continue to receive the word, as they'll continue to receive the word will now transform them. I quoted James chapter 1. Not sure who is there. Where it says, receive with meekness. James chapter 1. Where is that scripture? James 1:21. Okay, therefore, can you see that? Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with what? Meekness, the implanted word, which is able to. Now, question, who is he writing to? Who is he writing to? Let's look at chapter 1, verse 1. Look at chapter 1, verse 1, and you see who the audience is. Okay? James, a born servant of God, of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. Hallelujah. So he's writing to the Jewish believers. He's writing to the Jewish believers who are scattered abroad. They were scattered. What scattered them? Persecution. Remember, you read the book of Acts. When Saul began to persecute the church, and then when Herod killed James, and this same James that is writing got killed. All right? So, persecution scattered them. So he's writing not to the world. He's writing to God's people. And he says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. So that means when they got born again, they got saved. But then now, the more they receive the word, there is a progressive salvation. There is a progressive salvation that takes place. The more you feed on the word of God, that's why any child of God that ignores the Bible is doing it to their detriment. Yeah, you don't know how the Bible is changing you.
Can't you see what's happening in society today? Do you know the reason? They took the Bible out of schools.
That's correct.
They took the Bible out of schools. They said, no. We don't want, the school should be a neutral place. You just stay at home. You know, you do your Bible thing at home and leave the school. We don't want to offend anybody. Come on, leave the Bible in the school. Anybody that has his own can bring. Put the lie and the truth together. The truth is not intimidated by lies. Put them all together. People will discern. But no. We're a secular state, so take the Bible out. Now, look at what is happening. Look at what is happening. Why? What is able to save our society is what is being taken out of society. You see? Yeah. So read your Bible. I don't know if you sing those songs in Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow, if you want to grow, if you want to grow, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Yeah. It's the truth. You read your Bible and you pray. It will help you to grow. It will help you to grow. Read your Bible to that child. Oh, they might not fully understand it. Just read it. Read it. Oh, sometimes I don't understand. I don't understand Leviticus. Read it. Anyway, some of you have read it. Yes. Read it. Even the genealogy, read it. And this begat this, and this begat this, and read it. Read it. Yeah. Yeah. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Can you see that? But you shall meditate in it day and night.
Yes, my God.
Day and night, that you may observe to do according to what, all that is written in it. For then, who will make you prosperous?
You.
You. Not God. You will make your way prosperous.
Yes,
you.
Yes.
How? By applying the word. Yes. And then you will have good success. How many people want success? Every time I get into a bookshop, I always ask the bookshop owner, what is the best-selling book in this shop? You know what they say? Success. Success books sell a lot. Success books sell a lot. Right, everybody wants to be successful, but nobody wants the word of God. Come on. That's a recipe there. Look at America. Look at Europe. They took the Bible out. Look at what they're dealing with now. You see? And we're following them. Somebody, please advise our government. Advise our leaders. Advise our politicians. The Bible has not lost its power.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. History, if you study history, if you're a student of history, you study history, you know that the Bible actually changed the world. Literally changed the world. And I can give you a few examples. Do you know that before, right? I'll give you two examples. Do you know that before education,
was only for the rich. Yeah. In what sense? In those days, for you to study, you needed to have a tutor. And only the rich could afford to employ a tutor. So imagine, how many of you here, if you are told that for your children to study, you have to employ, it's not going to school. All this going to school came because of the Bible. School as you know it now came because of Christians. I'm telling you, go and check it out. It's Christians that sat down because of the teachings of Christ. They now began to gather people in groups to teach them and dispense knowledge. Prior to that, the father will employ the tutor, and the tutor will be coming every day teaching the child. That's how people got educated those days. But because Jesus, the teachings of Jesus are so powerful, especially Sermon on the Mount, and people began to love their neighbors as themselves, and people began to become salt and light. Hallelujah. And people began to go the extra mile. You know, they started applying all those teachings. That's what brought about what you are enjoying today. And then you now come and tell me religion is the opium of the masses. What nonsense. You see, when people don't study, they go and they just mimic things that other so-called people have said. Go and dig deep down, and you'll see what I'm telling you is true. So somebody say, thank God for the Bible. Yeah. That's what brought about what we are enjoying today. So today, because of numbers, you pay a little, you pay a little, you pay a little. Everything is brought together, and now everybody can afford tutors, teachers. But before, one person will pay all of that. Did you hear about this billionaire that started a school for his children? You know, this richest man in the world today. He took them out of school, and he created his own school for his children. So his children are going to his own school that he created for them. Now, if that's how it used to be before the influence of Scripture. So if we are to go back to that, how many people can afford to educate their children? Yeah, so that's why those days, every person, if you are not chosen by a rabbi, you would just learn the family trade. So you would continue the family trade from generation to generation. That's how it used to be. Yeah. That's why even Jesus, he became a carpenter. Because that was the family trade. That was the family trade. Peter, a fisherman. John, fisherman. That was a family trade. They left their father. It's a family business. So they all were stuck there. Your only way out is if a rabbi should choose you. And for a rabbi to choose you, you had to memorize the Torah from beginning to end. And not everybody had that capacity. You get my point? I'm telling you historical fact. So, that's why when Jesus turned to them and said, follow me, it was a powerful call that they could not resist. A rabbi says, follow me. Ha! Huh? Me! Ah, daddy, goodbye. I'm tired of this life. Amen. You see? Amen. Yeah. Amen. So that's the power of the gospel. one of the ways that the gospel changed society. Another way I'll give you, another example is hospitals. Today, we've got, even though, yeah, it's expensive and all of that for men, but it's even better than then. There was a time if you were sick. In fact, even the Greek philosophers, people like Aristotle and so on, they say, if you cannot contribute to society, you should be banished. So when people were sick, they would put them outside the camp and leave them to die there because they are not able, they are not fit enough to contribute to the economy. So then people, somebody comes up today and makes some statements and you embrace it and you think that it's a smart statement. That's how the devil lies to people. He's attacking belief systems. That's what's happening. So now he's trying to take us back to those, to that place. But not, say not with me, not with me. Hallelujah. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Yeah. One of the disciples of Jesus, Luke, the physician, how many people could afford his, could afford him? You think that Luke, a physician, was working the way doctors work today? It's not like that. You should be thankful for the how the gospel transformed society that now we have the kind of system that we have. Amen. Even though it's not perfect, even though it has its own faults and all of that, but we are thankful. Amen. That the gospel brought about this kind of change. Hallelujah. Amen. So if the gospel can save you, and like we said last week, if salvation, soul salvation, the most valuable thing, the hardest thing to achieve, God achieved just by you believing and confessing with your mouth, there's nothing that the gospel cannot change. Amen. It's nothing. There's no life that the gospel cannot change. The only life that the gospel is not able to change is a life that refuses to believe the gospel. Amen. Yeah. So what do you believe? For with the heart, back to Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. If you can master how to believe, if you can master how to believe God, if you can master how to believe His word, if you can master how to believe His promises, there's nothing in your life that will not change. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Everything can change in life. Every situation in your life can be changed. Stop looking for muti and all kind of magical things to change your life. They don't work. They don't work. So I see some Christians trying to mix stuff. Say, you know, you never know which one can work. You know, you don't know which one will work. You know, don't mix it. If you mix it, it's a sign that you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you won't receive. Yeah. So I want you to fight every kind of doubt that will come into your heart.
Amen.
Don't allow yourself to be discipled to become a doubter. I remember engaging one atheist, and he was trying to tell me how good doubt is.
I said, you don't know who you are talking to.
Hello?
He's trying to convince me that doubt is very good.
wrong person.
Believing.
Throughout the Bible, if you read, you see that believing is key.
Amen.
So what about, Pastor, what about when things are not working right? What about when things seem to be failing? What about when things seem to be falling apart? Still believe. Still believe.
Okay, I'm struggling to believe.
Yeah. The reason you are struggling to believe is because you have not believed. Believe is not something you struggle to do. Belief is something you just do.
Yes.
So how do I break unbelief? How do I break doubt? You know, there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. Do you know the difference? Do you want to know?
Yes.
You don't want to know. I can't hear your feet. Stomp your feet. Come on. Okay. I'll tell you. Yeah. Doubt is based on lack of the word. Okay? It's based on lack of knowledge. Is based on lack of information. Unbelief is not based on that. Unbelief is more wicked, more deadly than doubt. When Jesus was walking on water, remember that story? Peter was in the boat with the rest, and he says, Lord, if it be you, because John, the beloved, said to him, that's the Lord.
Yes.
That is Jesus. I recognize that walk.
Yes.
That is Jesus. And Peter, who is always quick to speak, Lord, if it is you,
yes,
ask me to come.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus says, come.
Yes.
And Peter steps out of the boat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. And Peter steps out of the boat and he walked on water to go to Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read on. Matthew 14, verse 30 says, and when he saw the wind, that the wind was boisterous. Now remember, he's a fisherman. He knows the winds. He knows what kind of wind is okay and which one is not. He knows the one that is a threat and which one is not. From experience, he knows the one that can sink the boat and the one that will not. He understands all of that. Okay, remember, generations of knowledge. His father was a fisherman, maybe grandfather, great-grandfather. You know, they were all fishermen. So knowledge has been transferred from generation to generation. So Peter is standing here. His knowledge of the wind is not just his knowledge. It's his great-great-great-great-grandfather's knowledge. So you can call him an authority in interpreting the wind. Hallelujah. He's an authority in interpreting the wind. So he's walking on water. Jesus says, come. And he steps out of the boat. Others say, Peter, what are you doing? He says, come. So he steps out and he's walking. And the thing is not, this guy is not sinking. He's walking as if he's on the floor. But he's on water. And then the wind came. Hallelujah. The wind came and he was afraid. Then what happens? Begins to sink. And he cried out, Lord, what?
Save me.
Can you see? Lord, save me. His faith was still in the Lord. Okay?
That's why he cried to the Lord. Yes. His faith was in the Lord. That's why he cried, Lord, save me.
Yes.
Otherwise, he would have just sunk.
Yep.
Lord, save me. Then look at what the Lord says to him. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, what? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, so doubt is different. Doubt is based on lack of knowledge. Doubt is based on you observing the situation. It's based on you observing the circumstances, analyzing them, and using natural knowledge to analyze things. Then you enter into doubt. So, how did he walk on water before the wind? He had faith. He believed the word that Jesus spoke. When Jesus said to him, come, and he stepped out. I'm not sure how many steps he took. The Bible doesn't tell us. But let me just imagine that Jesus says, come. So he stepped on sea. M-E. Ha! Then the wind starts. Maybe. Or maybe, you know. Come. C-O-M-E. C-O-M-E. And he's walking on the word. Come. Hallelujah. Because he believes. He didn't cross his mind to doubt what Jesus said. It didn't cross his mind to try to analyze what Jesus said. It didn't cross his mind. The moment Jesus spoke, he stepped out and he starts walking. And he's walking on water. Then the enemy saw, no, I must do something here. Then he sends this wind.
Yes.
And immediately, maybe the enemy whispers to Peter, look at that wind, look at that wind. You are finished, you are finished. This, nobody has gotten out of this kind of wind.
Yes.
From research, 100% of the people that experience this never survive.
Oh.
The studies, the professional, and the, you know, the weather reports and all of that, the experts, they've told us this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he sees that and, my word. Then fear comes in.
Yes.
You see, he was walking fine. The wind comes. What should he have done? Ignore the wind. Look at Jesus. And continue. But no, he turns. And he's looking at the wind. Oh my God. Yeah. He probably looked back and he sees the boat. Yeah, 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 yeah. The boat is almost capsizing. He says, oh my God. Then fear enters his heart. The moment fear enters, fear and faith can't move, mix. Fear and faith don't work together. So the moment fear enters, he starts sinking. But then he still had faith in Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Even though he didn't have faith in the word come.
Yes.
His faith in the word come had been shaken by the situation.
That's correct.
Sure.
Which happens to you many times. God speaks to you,
Yes. Then
the enemy sends a situation. He sends a report. He sends an expert report.
That's correct.
And then he shakes you.
Yes. Yes.
Then you start sinking.
Yeah.
You say, Lord, but why? I thought you said I should come.
Oh.
That's what we do.
Yes.
Peter didn't say, Lord, why am I sinking? Why did you? I thought you. He didn't say that. Immediately, Lord, save me. You see, he went back to faith. So from doubt, he went back to faith.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So his belief in the Son of God did not shake.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
His belief in the saving power of Jesus was not affected by the wind.
Amen.
That's why he could still be rescued.
Amen.
But his belief in the word come was shaken by the wind. But sometimes God speaks to us and circumstances come for the word's sake.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You understand?
Yes.
God tells you, I'm going to use you in the ministry of signs and wonders.
Yes.
You're going to raise many dead people.
Yes.
And as God says that, you wake up and you're excited. You're saying, yeah, yeah. You begin to confess it. You begin to declare it. And then, boom. Situation hits you. And then they now say to you, the doctor says, you are dying. This what we're seeing now, in fact, you have 4 weeks to live. Yeah. They say, hey. Oh, but I thought God said that. No, 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 no. The doctor has done his part. You do your part. Don't drop your faith because of the doctor's report. Doctor's instrument can only pick what he can see. And what he sees, the enemy can plant things.
Yes.
Do you understand me?
Amen.
The enemy can plant something. Hallelujah. I was so blessed. We were having a meeting yesterday with one of our teams. And the brother was sharing about how he got healed, you know, in church years ago from stage 4 cancer. You know, he came into our meeting and he had cancer. And the doctor was confused because they said, okay, just do the chemo because, you know, they couldn't explain it. Hallelujah. So when you believe the word, the word works. So even though they said he had cancer, that did not shake him. Yeah, it's like a death sentence. When you hear, how many people know, when you hear cancer, it's like a death sentence. It's a principality that must be brought down. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Why is it that it always instilled serious fear into people? Why? So learn to work on your belief, your belief system. Don't wait until you need a miracle to believe. Start believing in miracles before you are in need of a miracle. Do you get my point?
Amen.
Yeah. Exercise your faith.
Amen.
For miracles.
Yes.
The supernatural. The unimaginable.
Amen.
The extraordinary. Amen. Believe. Why do we keep declaring that? God has told us by vision that my wife had, that he is going to use us for the unimaginable, the supernatural,
Amen.
And the extraordinary.
Amen.
He's going to use us. Use unimaginable, supernatural, extraordinary. So if God is going to use you for the supernatural, how is it going to happen if nothing challenges, if there's nothing challenging that requires a supernatural intervention?
Yes. Yes.
How do you want to experience? Yeah. So don't be shocked when situations show up.
Yes.
What do you believe?
Yes. Yes.
What do you believe? So we go back. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. Verse 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Turn to someone and say, let not your heart be troubled. Because Jesus had begun to, he began to tell his disciples how he's going to die. He's beginning to tell them how he's going to die. And those guys, they are troubled.
Yeah.
It's like, how can this guy just die and leave us? I mean, look at all these glorious, powerful times we've been having. Then now, all of a sudden, you want to spoil it by saying you're going to die. What is this death of a thing you're talking about? So Jesus says to them, let not your heart be troubled. Okay? In other words, your heart being troubled is something you allow. Correct? If I give you this bottle of water and I say, don't let it drop, what does that mean? That means you have the ability to keep it from dropping. So he says, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
That means you have the ability to not allow your heart be troubled. Amen. No matter what.
Amen.
No matter what. You have the ability.
Amen.
Let not. He didn't even say pray that your heart will not be troubled. No. You don't let your heart be troubled. Come on, hit your chest. Say, I refuse to allow my heart to be troubled. Yeah, refuse. Make up your mind.
Yes.
I said, God, please take away this trouble in my heart. No. You wake up and say, hey, what's going on? Get out of my heart.
Amen.
You have what it takes.
Yes.
So he says, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Believe. Come on, somebody say believe. Yes. Believe in God.
Yes.
Believe also in me.
Yes,
you see?
Yes.
How do you deal with the troubles of life? Believe in God. If your heart, if you cannot stop your heart from being troubled, it's a function of the defect in your belief system. Yeah, that's what it means. Oh Lord, things are falling apart. And so? Is it the first time things fell apart? It's not the first time. Believe in God. Don't believe in the things falling. Believe in God. Peter believed in the wind. Instead of believing in the word come, he believed in the wind. Don't misplace your belief. Please, don't. That's where the enemy gets advantage over us. Believe in God. Believe also in me. How's Jesus talking? So that's the panacea for a heart that is troubled. A heart that is bamboozled and shaken by circumstances, by situations. Shaken by bad news. Have you received bad news lately? Yeah, some of us have. But the bad news is no news. As long as I have the good news.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Believe in God.
Amen.
Believe also in me. Some of you, your prayers are not being effective because you don't know how to steal your troubled heart.
Yeah.
That is why. And the reason why you struggle to steal your troubled heart is your belief system in God is faulty. Mentally, yes, you believe. But here, something needs to happen.
Amen.
And sometimes the distance from here to here is a very long journey. From your head to your heart. Sometimes the distance is a long journey.
Yeah.
It's like flying around the world. Or sailing around the world. Around the world in 80 days. Hallelujah. Yeah. So believe. Now let's skip to verse 12. We'll close from here. Verse 12. Look at verse 12. Come on. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Why?
Because I go to my Father.
Come on! Look at that. So it's a function of belief. It's a function of belief. He didn't even say, most assuredly I say to you, he who prays, greater works. The works that I do, he will do because he prays. No, he who believes.
Amen.
So you need to believe before you pray. Amen. You don't pray to believe. No, you believe, then you pray. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, work on your belief system. And everything will change. Everything will turn around. You don't need to drink any holy water to change your life. Do you understand me? You don't need that. Yeah. You don't need oil from Jerusalem for your life to change. Did he say that?
No.
Huh? He who drinks holy water. Is that what he says? He who drinks anointed oil, holy anointing oil from the Holy Land. Is that what changes lives? No, it's belief. He who believes in me. How many people believe in Jesus? You believe in Jesus, keep believing in him. Don't stop believing in him.
Amen.
No matter the storm,
amen.
No matter what happens, if the whole world falls apart, keep believing. Keep believing. Hallelujah. And things will fall in line. Things will fall in line. Everything will change. I can guarantee you. The word is true. If it worked for Abraham, it worked for Joseph in Egypt. It worked for Moses. It worked for Elijah. It worked for Ezekiel. It worked for Isaiah. It worked even for disobedient Jonah. Why will it not work for you? It worked for Mary.
Amen.
It worked for Elizabeth.
Amen.
Why won't it work for you? Let's ask the Lord. Lord, forgive me for doubting you, for not believing you, for not believing your word, for not believing in you, for not putting my trust in you. Forgive me. Amen. Father, I thank you. I bless your name. I pray for your people this morning. Lord God, strengthen our belief systems in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray whatever the enemy has done, whatever circumstance, whatever situation around them that has challenged their faith, that has challenged their faith in you, their trust in you. Lord, I speak reinforcement. Reinforce their faith. Let their faith be strengthened. I bind every spirit of doubt. I bind every spirit of fear. I bind every spirit of unbelief. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit that questions the integrity of God. I bind the spirit that continues to lie against the Lord in their minds, that queries the integrity of God in their hearts. I bind that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will give them the ability to stay focused on your word, to stay focused on your integrity, to stay focused on your character, Lord God, rather than on their situations. Let every situation that is contrary be made to align up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you're here, you're listening to me, you want to get born again. You're not sure if Jesus comes now that you will go to heaven with him, and you want to receive that into your heart, raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Every eye closed. Come on. Raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Anybody wants to do that? God bless you, my friend. Yes. Any other person? Raise it. Let me see. Raise it. Raise it for me to see. I want to see it. God bless you. God bless you. Okay. Any other person? Come on. Raise it. Raise it. Raise it. Let's see. Okay. And also those of you watching online, also, just say this after me. Say, dear God, I thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I believe in my heart that he is Lord. Jesus, I put my faith in you. I put my trust in you. I believe in you. I believe in God. And I believe in you. I trust you with my life. I trust you with my soul. I trust you with my future. Save me. Save me from the spirit of doubt. Save me from the spirit of unbelief. Thank you, Jesus. I receive you in my heart right now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Raise your hand again. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for these hands that are raised. I pray for these hands that are raised right now. In the name of Jesus, that you would touch them. I release the spirit of faith over them. Lord my God, let your kingdom come upon them. Thank you, Father. I give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you real good.
This ministry has come to you live from Every Nation Midrand. For other life-changing messages and more information, log on to www.everynationmidrand.org.